Let's get started. I want to welcome again our online students all over the United States. God is moving powerfully in this apostolic order by Apostle Thompson. So we are excited again to begin lesson three. Amen. All right. Y'all read ahead of me, right? Y'all should be about chapter five. Yeah. Not quite there. Okay. All right, so we're going to pick up at chapter 1 then, okay? Chapter 1, the supernatural culture. Our culture is a supernatural culture. Apostle illuminated that tonight as well in teaching on the apostolic that we're walking in the supernatural. This is not normal. This is supernatural. And so we understand it from the perspective that our culture is apostolic. In the apostolic, the supernatural is the norm. Yes, it is the norm. It's norm for us to see miracle signs and wonders, right. Yeah. To see people get out of wheelchairs, come from the death situations. That's normal, amen. You know, among us. So we don't get blown away by it because it happens. It's supposed to happen. That's right. That's what we live for. That's what we're anointed and called for. Yeah. And so we understand our culture. So what we're doing is developing a people who are apostolic focused, apostolic minded, having the mindset of the apostolic and understanding that this is God's original order of things, God's original order of things. We got lost in religion and through organizations and we just got away from the apostolic and the prophetic. And we focus mostly on the pastoral and the evangelist and the teacher's ministry. And so therefore, the church became void of signs, wonders, and miracles. And so people began to go to more to medication, the psychology realm, because of the fact, why? They didn't see the power. They didn't see the power. They had more power flowing through the 900 number than they had through the church. So people turned to the psychics, you know, why? Because they was giving them what they thought was insight, future plans, that things were going to happen good for you. This was going to happen. And they had some discernment. Satan can discern something, the spirit of divination. He could tell them their past and calling folks from the dead and all this kind of stuff. So people got locked into that spiritual realm of signs and wonders, you know, and not realizing the church has that same ability. The power came from the church. And so we are returning back to that originality. And so you're a generation who will catch the power of God with signs, wonders, and miracles, understanding the divine order of God. And so therefore, we will help keep us from swaying again. Amen. Over into the fleshly realm, amen. The carnality. Okay, so this is important. This is why we're studying the culture, understanding the people who are with us, the people that we are in covenant with. And how we walk together in this anointing. So we give it chapter 1. There are certain things you need to know, certain things you need to underline. So let me give that information first and we'll bag up and kind of fill in. The first thing to understand is our meditation scripture for meditation is Zechariah 4:6. That's right in chapter 1, right there. A supernatural culture, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's your meditation scripture because realize everything we're walking in is supernatural. It's by the Holy Ghost. It's by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that's what you got to understand. It's not fleshly. It's not psychology. It's totally being led by the Spirit of God and the power of God. Yes, that yields, he did tonight to my yielding. Yielding is powerful because in yielding, you have to learn to die of self. You have to die of self. One great writer said that the only people that God trusts is dead people because dead people have no agenda. So God needs you to die to self so you don't have an agenda. You're only being led and following the Holy Spirit. That word trust dead used tonight, yielding and trusting the Holy Spirit is so powerful. So we must recognize that. Okay. Second thing you need to write, which is in paragraph one, brought midway. You get there, you see the word, the heart of this culture. The heart of this culture. Underline that. That's your book so you can write in it, unless you plan on selling it. The heart of this culture is the conviction that Jesus modeled the Christian life for us. He modeled the Christian life for us. This is the heart of our culture. We're following Jesus' example. We're Christ-like. We're walking in the power. The Bible says the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same spirit that dwells in you. So we're following Christ's example of how the believer is supposed to live. He's our model. We watch him. So Christ, God sent him as our model. So keep that focus in that our churches are modeling Christ's example of lifestyle. Also, he goes on to say it next to that, and next sentence says, Jesus explained that all the supernatural things that happened through him flow directly from his intimate connection with his Father. Make a note of that. That's very important because Apostle again shared that with us tonight, that it's through prayer and praise that this power flows through us. The culture is surrounded with prayer and praise. We bring this intimate presence of God. And then we have such a relationship with God that it can happen at any moment. Yes, it can happen at any moment. Okay? So no matter where you are, malls, shopping centers, in the grocery lines, wherever you are, this anointing can come on you at any moment to deal with any issue and situation that you may be in or someone in the aisle may be in that you need to minister to. Yes, you're always in the anointing. You always have the anointing with you. Okay, whether he's activated is determined by your intimacy. Amen. Your hearing is determined by your intimacy. Because yes, God is always speaking, men are not always listening. Yes. Intimacy creates an atmosphere that we can have the presence of God at all times whenever we need it. It's right available to us. Amen. Because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. And we know all things. Yes. Because his presence is on the inside of us. Father, he says in this writing, he says, the connection with the Father, and that same connection was what he came to give us through his death and resurrection. Same connection. Next sentence, sustaining a supernatural lifestyle where signs and wonders follow us is therefore totally dependent on living out our true identity as sons and daughters of God. That's number three. So make a mark of that. Sustaining a supernatural lifestyle. Understand this comes from our intimacy. Mm-hmm. With signs and wonders where they follow us is totally dependent on living out our true identity as sons and daughters of God. Yes, that is so powerful. Mm-hmm. Because God has anointed us with the anointing, with the word, rhema word, that we are able to bring signs, wonders, and miracles in the earth. Amen. Mark 16:25 says that those who begin to believe and are baptized, he says, and these signs shall follow them. Yes. These signs shall follow them that believe. Mm-hmm. That they'll begin to speak in tongues and lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They're drinking a deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Then the Bible says, and God confirming his word with signs following. I mean, once they activated, once they begin to speak the word, God brought demonstration. Yes. Amen. One of the fears of the believer is, if I lay hands on people, nothing's going to happen. What if they don't get healed? Wow. And so when you begin to bring questions in of doubt and unbelief, now you nullify your confidence in what God told you. So you can't do that. You have to act on the leading of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit says, go over there and pray for that woman. No question what he's asking you to do, obey it. Yes, it's in the obedience that we're going to see the demonstration, the power show up. Yes. It's in our obedience. Am I the healer? No, God is the healer. The Holy Ghost is the healer. But I'm the instrument that he's going to flow through. Yes. So when I avail myself through yielding, through that intimacy time in prayer and worship and dancing in the presence of God and giving God glory and sweating and get all the curls out of your hair and all that kind of stuff, well, you're putting in the time of intimacy to break beyond barriers of limitation. So when I get out in the actual world of society, a deal with the enemy has come to bind people with sickness and disease and poverty and lack and doubt and all this kind of stuff. When I walk out in that arena come out of prayer and worship, I am anointed with an anointing for yoke destroying and burden removing. Therefore, man, I go with confidence. I'm looking for somebody to cast down. I'm looking for a demon to cast out. Why? Because I know he's with me. I'm anointed, man. The fire of God is on me. You know, and we're ready to explode. Dunamously. Explode, you know, with the power of God. So God is with us. You must know that when you walk out of this school, even while you're here, that God is with you and that signs, wonders, and miracles are the norm for your life. It's the norm for your life. You know, and you don't have to be the pastor. You don't have to be the evangelist. You don't have to be the apostle for this. No, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe, the believer. But I need to be connected. I need to be connected. And we're talking about that connection, why these graces are available to us through our connections. Okay, so that's number three. So let's go to page 40. Let's pick up on page 40. There's something here. I'm going to come back and give illustration on other things. Now, from when we left page, when we left from in chapter one, he started talking about an event that happened in his school, their church, about this young lady who got pregnant over the summer. It was part of the school. And he started talking about the information, you know, and how they dealt with it with the grace of God apostolically, how they dealt with that situation because in certain denominational circles, she would not have been allowed to participate. But shame would have hit her life because they would have outcast her. They would have outcast her or blackballed her, and she would not have had the opportunity to walk in restoration because of the fact she would have been condemned. But the apostolic anointing that Jesus bought was the grace of God, so therefore grace began to cause forgiveness. Mercy was released because the law had no mercy. Amen. You break it, we stone you. Simple as that. That's the way it was. She would have got stoned in her day. She'd have been told that. So when we look at the grace of God, you can just write this as a note. John chapter 8, verse 11, where Jesus asked the woman that was committed adultery, he asked her, where are your accusers? And she says, I have none. He said, neither do I accuse you. But go and sin no more. He didn't say she didn't do it, but he told her, go and sin no more. He released her and let her know that grace was there. She was forgiven for it. So correct your ways, mend your ways. So when we read chapter 1, we read about the whole story. This pastor, this apostle began to give her the same grace. You know, we're going to deal with this. Ask your parents for forgiveness. You know, so because I'm dealing with a school he's talking about, he said, you're going to need to do certain things. Okay, and so they was able to go through the school classes and apologize to the students because they was leaders. And let them know, you know, we error, we missed it. We missed it. This is not an exception. We missed it. We blew it. This is not something you can do the same thing and the grace will be given to you to do the same thing. No, it's not that. It's the idea we just messed up. We missed it. So forgiveness was the atmosphere that caused this grace to be released. A person who is not having a forgiving heart because they have sinned, because they have erred, then you got to deal with them on a different level because there's no repentance in their heart. So when we err, we repent. Ask God for forgiveness and then let God restore us and restore us. So when we get to page 40 that I pointed out to you, the last paragraph, it says there, you see, shame is removed through love. Make a note of that. Shame is removed through love. Okay, that could be number four. I got it marked number three in my book, but it could be number four. Question. Got your meditation. I did one and two. So this is going to be number four. Okay. So make that note because it's going to be in your quiz tomorrow. Shame is removed through love, not judgments or punishments. Okay, so let's move from there. Let's go to page 56. I'm giving you information. We're going to go back. Page 56 is in chapter 2. Why do I want to go to page 6? Well, no, don't go to page 56. Go to page 47, excuse me. Chapter 2, page 47. We get five questions, six questions, huh? 5? Okay. It's talking about chapter 2, about, talk about the funnel from heaven. The funnel from heaven. Quote stated by Nelson Mandela from South Africa. Statesman. He said, there is nothing like returning to a place that remain unchanged to find the ways in which you yourselves have altered. You know, that this is awesome. Awesome. Because the culture that you're growing up in, you're being trained to change the environment. You're being trained to change the environment. Not only the environment around you, but nations should change. Culture should change because of you. Because of your core beliefs, because of the anointing that's on your life, the call that's on your life, you should be able to change people around you in your environment. Because of that. That's what this is all about, developing the culture, bringing the anointing of heaven to earth, that heaven start looking like earth. It start operating like, earth start operating like heaven. That's where we are. That's where we are. That's where we're trying to get. One part of the book's teachings was that Jesus taught us through the prayer that John taught his disciples was let your will be done on earth as it already is in heaven. So it's saying whatever heaven looked like, however heaven has ordered, operate, let it happen down here. That's what you and I are doing. Now, is everybody going to grab hold to this? No, because the spirit of religion has made the word of God of none effect. Wow. So when you get around religious people, they say, I cannot take people somewhere who already know. Amen. Because now you want to be my partner. You know, you want to share revelation. Now you can't learn nothing. That's why our relationship with the apostle is not a flesh relationship. It's a spiritual relationship. We're sons and daughters to him. He's our father. So one of the things you got to learn to do when you run an apostle, don't ask him nothing. Amen. Just sit there and listen. Amen. You give him 2 minutes. Yep. Are you being quiet? He's going to pour out about 45 minutes to an hour while you're sitting there with him. Mm-hmm. He's going to tell you things that way past what you thought. Wow. You know, but that's the way he is. That's just the way he is. He came out earlier today before I even got in. I saw him on the screens. I pulled up. I said, oh, Lord, he in the pulpit already. You know, you know, he's already there talking, you know, and that's just the way he is. Whenever he's around you, he's going to start talking about the Lord. He's going to give a revelation because he's constantly on the cutting edge of seeking God's face and what God is saying. That's what I love about it. You ain't got to say nothing. He'll just give you the answer off the bat by the Holy Ghost. Amen. I stopped studying for a while because I just got his notes. that's just how powerful his presence is. Okay, so let's look at for number 5, 3/4 of the way down. You see Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, the pastor, teacher, and evangelist. He said, I believe this is true because I, as a member of this team, have seen firsthand how these diverse anointings each address an essential part of the identity and purpose of the church through their specific areas of focus and motivation. He said, now underline this next statement. Without a complete, mature expression of these graces that equip the saints, the people of God cannot be adequately prepared to contain what God is pouring out and release it to the world around them. Without us understanding and getting in the environment of the apostolic, the prophetic, the evangelist and teacher, and pastor, without us being up under this anointing, all 5 of them, then we're not going to be complete to go to all the world and preach the gospel effective. Where the signs and wonders and the miracles of God are constantly manifesting to change the culture, to change the climate, to change the atmosphere, where people's lives are affected forever, never to be the same again. Because this anointing, because you have a knowing and you're wearing this anointing. Amen. You have to understand. what all five of these offices does, how they are so pertinent to our lives, and why we need to understand their operation and respect those graces and honor those graces. Now, here's something that the Holy Spirit taught me in spiritual walking with Apostle a few years ago. He said to me, he says, your honoring is going to look just like worship. So don't let nobody talk you out of it. Because honor looks just like worship. Because one of the things people would tell you, oh, y'all out there worshiping that man. Why? Because we honor him. And honor looks just like worship. Because it is loyalty at a high level. It is submission to a high level. We come in here and we drop our agenda. One of the first things I heard, so when he got called to, he's called into the prophetic now, get his call in Baltimore. God really clarified that for him and released that to him. But when he first got to become an apostle, you know, we were wearing these apostle titles around here, and all of a sudden they say, ain't nobody an apostle. Like, I know I heard from God, did I? You know, we started questioning ourselves, well, we're apostles. And some guys left because of the fact he challenged their submission. He was not trying to belittle them or bring them out. He said, until I get a foothold into what God has called me to do, I need you to put your title on hold. That's all he was asking us to do. And some of you immediately jumped out. Who you think he's the only apostle? And they jumped out of their skin and got out of here and missed the whole purpose. Because honor looked just like worship. When you're following somebody, he spoke about it again tonight. When you're following somebody, you can't. Here's a little quote I use. You cannot follow without following. Okay, so therefore, honoring him, to submit to him, God called me to submit to him. So when he said drop your titles, that was no struggle because, in fact, I'm submitted to you. God called me to follow you. So therefore, he's the leader. He hear from God. And if he ever, he'll come back. That's he's so humble in that area. If he misses, he'll come back and explain it and get that straight. But the idea, if he hear God, he's going to operate in it. You're going to get cut and bleed a little bit. We'll stitch you up and, you know, we'll stitch you up and keep it all going, man. We have a lot of emergency rooms, and it's anointing. Amen. Yeah, it happens. It happens. So without a complete, mature expression of these graces, but in these anointings, we cannot be fully equipped to walk in what God has called us to do, because God has called us to the nations. Yes. It's not to sit behind these four walls, but we're in the nations, and therefore the nation become not only Europe and Africa and these other continents, but the nation become wherever you go. Yes, sir. It becomes a nation. And God said, you let your light shine. You need to be able to minister in those environments. In those environments. That's why we want you on. That's why we want you paying attention. That's why Dad's going to give you that quiz next week. So take mine to get it out the way so you can really study and focus. You know, and really focus on what God is telling you. Okay? So keep that in your spirit. All right. And do I want to go back from this point? Yes, I do. So let's go back to chapter 1. I think we've got all five of them. Got all five of them. Okay. Okay, I begin to share with you about the story that happens in their church about this young lady and young man and how they dealt with it and how the grace of God restored her and refreshed her. To her rightful place to continue in her study and so she can continue in her anointing. And so what happened is when we do not walk in love, we produce shame, and shame causes people to become discouraged. They draw back their talent, their gifts, and their ability because they feel they're unworthy. They're not accepted by those who are around them. So our culture is not designed, we're not designing a culture that causes shame or play the blame game with people. We're here to restore people. Jesus is all about restoration, restoring, bringing us back into the divine order. So that's what we're all about. So one of the things you got to begin, you got to begin to train those of you who may be pastors, you got to begin to train your members how to become compassionate and not judgmental. You know, because if we would really become judgmental, nobody will be in church. From pulpits to back doors, because we all have something we're dealing with. We still have stuff we are working on. We still have something we're working on. You know, just catch me at the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, we ain't going to be laying hands. No, baby, they're going to be balled up. We're going to pray for you later for healing after it's over with. But the idea is we're all dealing with something. We're working on issues in our lives, in our marriage, in our relationships, how we talk and deal with each other, and how we deal with our anger sometimes. We're dealing with those inner struggles sometimes that's in our soul, not our spirit, but in our soul, you know, coming into alignment. You know, so therefore, with everybody to become judges of people, then we all have to get judged, you know. And so therefore, you need to cast that down. Not that some issues don't have to be dealt with correction, but it always has to be with compassion and grace. Understanding that I too can get caught up in the same situation, and the same judgment I use toward you has to be used toward me too. That's no difference. You know, there's no big sin, no little sin. Sin is just sin. You know, and it's all wrong. You know, in the eyes of God. So therefore, thank God for grace. Thank God for his grace. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So I just wanted to pick that up just for a second. Again, we don't have to read through all the story of what happened in their ministry, because we realize she got restored. And she was accepted among her peers and her brothers and sisters in their church. And so that's how we got to walk in this. Okay, so now let me go back to chapter 2. I want to pick up in chapter 2, because chapter 1 just, like says, really doesn't have a lot to for us to earmark, but understanding the grace that was there, how grace is applied. Our grace is applied. So let's pick up at the second paragraph on page 47. The second paragraph on page 47 at the very bottom. He said, I am convinced that one of the reasons senior church leaders experience the disheartening cycle of great outpouring that gradually returns to business as usual is a lack of understanding of the fivefold ministry. It's a lack of the understanding of the fivefold ministry, of their own ministry, anointings, and callings. The church has anointings and callings. That's through the whole church. It has anointings and callings. And of how their anointings shape the direction of their churches. Now, he's talking about pastor. He's talking about the apostle, the prophet. You know, he's talking about the reason why a lot of ministry do not have a specific aim or purpose is because of the fact many ministers do not understand their anointing and their calling. And so they're not specific. They're just scatterbrained over every issue, just scatterbrained over stuff. And you're not really known by the city for something specific. You see, even in the medical world, there are those who are called specialists. You know, you got your the first doctor you go to, your... Yeah, just got that guy, you know, and he's a study of some of everything, but he's not a master of none of it. Right. But then when you get to the brain surgeon, you know, I mean, this is a guy specifically understand the brain, because he's a specialist in that area. Some ministries are called to be specialists. And when you have not identified the unique call of what God called you to be and what God called you to do, now you're just following the air, whatever tradition is doing. Get up Sunday morning and hear a preacher preach. Oh, that's a good word. I'm going to preach it this Sunday. You know, why? Because you're not specific. You're not precise on what God called you to do. One of the things Apostle mentioned today about Dr. Price is a faith teacher. God specifically told him, you go teach faith. And so when he found that out and got focused on that, every Sunday, you're going to hear faith. We walk by faith. Not by sight. He's focused on faith. Everything is faith, 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 because he's a specialist in that realm of teaching. Benny Hinn is known as one of the specialists in healing. You know, he's got a specific apostle, have one of his specialties. He got several, but one of his specialties is he's out at the end time message is money coming. He's known from that in every circle. When people know him, whether they're movie stars or actors or whatever, they go to Money Come It Man. Why? He's known for it. He specializes in an anointing for prosperity for the body of Christ. He's known for it, you see. And he's known for walking in the Holy Spirit, following the Holy Spirit. You know, so when we understand that there are certain people with certain specialties on their life and their calls on their life, and you got to be specific. You got to be precise or not. Your church is not going to have the foundation it needs to for the people to become that. See, whatever you are as a leader, that's what the people become. Apostle is apostolic, so the church got to become apostolic. The people got to become apostolic. The environment got to become apostolic. So when we come here, we know what to expect. A funnel from heaven to earth is divine government, the kingdom of God on displays. What we do here is what they're doing up there. And what we're doing looks just like up there. You see, why? Because that's what it is. That's what it is. And so that's what we're creating, a people who are apostolic. So when I meet you, I'm meeting Apostle Thompson. Because you're wearing that grace. You're wearing that anointing. That's all him. Your conversation going to sound just like him. You know, you're going to cut people just like he cut people. Why? Because it's on you. You're specific. You're precise. You're a stickler for the word. You don't play with people's emotion. No, it is what God said it is. So just sit down. You know, that's the way he operates. That's where it is. You know, it's because we're not going to compromise with this, because what you compromise with, you eventually lose. That's his teaching. You know, when you try to keep people in the fold who don't want to be kept in the fold, you're going to lose them anyway. So you might as well let them go. You know, you can't keep folks that don't want to be kept. You know, when people become emotionally divorced to you as a pastor, ain't nothing else you can do with them but divorce them. Give them that paper, kiss them, see you. That's all you can do, because they're emotionally divorced from you. They don't hear you, don't understand you. They can't receive no revelation. They can't receive no grace from you. You know, and that's why God, Dad said tonight, when God talked to him about that, about people who disconnect, he says, what you got to learn to do is remove your grace. Remove your grace. Because they can still be where they are because you have not removed your grace. They still having the benefits of that covering. So they think they still right because your grace is still on them. Because you have not withdrawn it from them. You see? And so that when God told them that, he said, okay, I call my grace back. And the ones I do know of have all failed, if not died. You know, but why? Because it's the anointing. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. That's why you understand the when we bring a connection and a fellowship with these graces, the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, pastors, and teachers, that's a grace on their life. The Bible said they watch over our souls. So therefore, we have to become submissive and do not make their job hard because they're praying for us. Their insights for us. Every experience they have is for us. Every victory they experience is for us. You know, and they fight battles in the spirit world. There are demons up there, man, fighting them on every hand. You know, then they come naturally manifested through people with attitudes, with curly hair shapes. You know, so you got to be able to deal with those demons. They come in all kinds of fashions. You know, so he's constantly praying and he needs you to pray for him. Amen. Because he's constantly in warfare on our behalf. You know, so we do not take these graces lightly, these anointing lightly. So if you're a pastor, man, listen, you don't have time to fool around. You got to become a stickler for the word in the presence of God and what God is saying, because those souls are very precious that sit in those pews. And you're fighting for them people, those souls. So they can be established, so they can flourish, so they can be blessed by God, and their families can get blessed by God, because that grace on you is what's covering that house. It's what's covering the house. And people take on the attitude and the personality of the leader. And that's why it's so important. You don't have the time to be a whore. My dad say that. You know. You ain't got time to be. Why? Because what you're releasing up here is an anointing. Right. You're releasing a spirit over the congregation. So whatever you're doing and you're not getting correct, as well as you're reaching the word out, that spirit is portraying out of you too. You know, so you got to be on target, man, with your lifestyle. The holiness, the righteousness that comes along with this word, so that atmosphere can stay, the presence of God can stay with you. Amen. In this culture. Amen. So we embrace this apostolic anointing, and we've been defined what the apostle and the prophets of who they are and how God has sent them to us. It's going to be awesome for us. Amen. It's going to be awesome for us. Let me give you one more nugget before my time get out. I earmarked something I wanted you to get. I find it. Okay, it's over chapter 2. Oh, they got to have this. That's not it. Glory to God. I'm not trying to save face. I'm trying to get this information. How did it get away from me? What's it? Somewhere. Okay, it's way over. Okay, on page 56. I'm sorry. Page 56. Let's go there. What I said, the apostles and prophets? Yes. Apostles and prophets. The quotation in the Miller beyond the after the that said, now you are Christ's body. You see that? Make a mark there. It says, now you are Christ's body. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 through 31. This is where it's come from. It said, now you are Christ's body and individual members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. Now, that is the original order. I know when you get over Ephesians 4, it talks about the apostle, prophets, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But here is the original order of the setup from heaven. This is God's government. This is how the structure is set up. In the church, to operate in the church, giftings and callings in the church. This is how to operate. This is the primary order. So we deal with who is who. This is it right here. Paul deals with in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, talking about love. Chapter 14, talking about everything be done decent order. He deals with this. He says, you are the church, you are Christ's body and individual members of it, and God is appointed in the church first. Apostle. Why we're talking about the apostles? Because they're the first set. They're the first ones God is establishing in the church was the apostles. Amen. And so a lot of denominationalism would tell you apostles are going out when John the Baptist died. John the Revelator. In Revelation, they said that was all the apostles. That was it. But see, that's because they hadn't read. They didn't get over in the Acts of the Apostles and realize there was apostles already of the fold that was not even mentioned in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was not even mentioned. And what amazed me about that is, when I hear that the craziness, is the idea is Peter and James and John, all of them submitted to those guys who was a prophet and apostle. Now, you walked with Jesus, ate with Jesus, saw the miracles and signs and wonders, and here you go submit to somebody else. Like, wow, man, talk about submission. I walk with him and talk with him. My shadow don't heal people, you know, upon the anointing. I'm going to submit to somebody else. It happened. Like, I'm submitting 10 seconds. See y'all later. Bye. I'm not getting cut and fired. God bless y'all. We'll see y'all next Monday.